Email todayradio@rte.ie.
Lots of you getting in touch about masks and the wearing of them on public transport. Frank says we should have the freedom to wear a mask or not, whereas Rory says we constantly fear a nanny state, yet we fail to act of our own volition when it's clear we should be wearing masks as a courtesy to others. If we buy into the social contract, we should act accordingly and not need to be constantly told what to do. Meanwhile, we have a text in from Martin who says he's a taxi driver from Limerick, and he says, what does a taxi driver do if people try to get into a taxi without a mask? Are we supposed to turn them away? Lots of questions around this, and I'm sure there will continue to be lots of questions over the next couple of weeks in relation to it. You can keep your text coming to 51551. You can tweet us at Today Radio RTE. Now, the lockdown might be lifting somewhat from Monday, but at the height of the restrictions, concerned long-term residents in Cork City made headlines around the country when they protested against student house parties in their locality. And in recent days, residents confirmed that they are bringing their grievances over COVID-19 parties to the attention of landlords through the Private Residential Tenancies Board. President of Cork Institute of Technology, Dr. Barry O'Connor, said this week that arresting and charging students involved in lockdown house parties could help put a stop to them. And Dr. Barry O'Connor joins me now on the line. And Barry, thank you very much for joining me this morning. How has it reached the stage where we're talking about arresting and charging students because of house parties?
Well, I guess, Sarah, good morning to you. In terms of the misbehaviour of students or anyone else, but particularly in terms of students, where we have a responsibility ourselves and University College Cork, it's a matter of the arrest and charge piece. I suppose was it would be the last resort, but you have to have if anyone is in breach of a public order or offence, well, there are statutes on the books, there are laws there to take that into account and to punish such behaviour, you know. But it's only one tool in the armament, and one way of dealing with this. From our point of view in CIT, and I know in UCC as well, what we are trying to do is to build positive respect among the student body for the neighbourhoods in which they live, for the people who live around about them, and you know, to start off with the respect side of the business and get the people to integrate together and so on. And where you have respect, then you won't need to be going to the nuclear option of arrest and charge. But, you know, again, if it comes to that at the end of the day, if people are in breach of public order, it certainly works. Again, it's unfortunate for maybe, well, unfortunate in a certain respect for anyone who may feel the rigors of the law. But if it does happen, I'm telling you, it sends shockwaves through the student community and the antisocial behaviour dies out fairly quick.
How do you know? Have you previous experience of students being arrested?
Well, going back maybe 6 or 7 years ago now, there were incidents and we worked in partnership with the local resident associations in Bitterstone, the local Gardaí, and of course with City Council as well, and with our own Students' Union in CIT. And things did get out of hand at one stage, and the local superintendent moved in and he took decisive action. No, it was on top of a lot of other activities we had going on within the institute in terms of advising students to assess their behaviour, and in particular what's the impact of being charged or being found guilty with a misdemeanour would have for future employment opportunities through Garda vetting, the inability to get the J-1 visas to the States and so on. So we had all that activity going on as well. And in the heat of the hunt, the direct action by the Garda Síochána, on top of our other activities, sorted out the matter.
So when students were arrested, that put a stop to it?
It certainly put a stop to it. Well, sorry, no, it was the full package, Sarah, but yeah. For sure, when the message got out that there were 4 or 5 people were picked up by the Gardaí, that stopped.
Is that the sort of scale that you'd be envisaging in Cork now then, 4 or 5 people, or would it be a case that every time there's a house party, the neighbour down the road would pick up the phone and you'd have a couple of arrests?
Well, you see, I think it's there's more involvement than that. And like, for example, in CIT, you know, every year when we have Rag Week, the first event in Rag Week is a coffee morning for the local residents. So the residents come in, and again, you're talking about a community of people within the institute, within the university, of people between 18 and 21, 22 years of age. And they can be forgiven for thinking they're living in a cocoon, to use the current phrase. But if we bring in, which we do in CIT, we bring in the local residents for various events, be it plays or art exhibitions or just these coffee mornings, and the students realise, yeah, oh, that could be my mother, or my grand-aunt or my uncle here, and yeah, and they're living around the corner, better behave here tonight, you know. And it does work, because it does remind them that they're not living in this teenage cocoon that you might see on television, you know.
I know as well, Barry, that you co-signed an email with the president of UCC and the students' union presidents, and that was sent to all students, urging them to avoid this type of behaviour. How effective do you think that'll be?
Well, you see, again, that's not the first joint letter we sent out, Sarah, because, again, this is a continuum, because every year, for example, obviously you get new first years in, and they're free from the shackles of home, they're free from the discipline of school, and they got to discipline themselves. So we've done this on a number of occasions now, and it's not just in reaction to particular events, but to constantly get the message home to students that they should behave, and that there are good reasons why they should behave, starting with out of respect, but finishing up with penalties, be they within the university system or the institute, or, as you say, as regards vetting, future employment opportunities or whatever. So you know, it's not just we did send a letter out lately, we sent another letter out a couple of months back. It's constantly reminding the students as to where they're actually living within settled communities and respectable communities, and then they need to be respectful of that environment.
This has been an ongoing,
you know,
issue in Cork, whereas throughout the pandemic we haven't really heard reports from other university towns around the country. Why do you think that is?
Well, I wouldn't necessarily agree with you there, Sarah.
Would you not? Okay.
I think a number of other cities around the country have had similar problems. Maybe in Dublin you have 6 or 7 universities which are spread around a much greater area. There is a student sort of the habitation area, if you might call it that, in around UCC, and again out around ourselves out in Bishopstone. So it's what the students are much more concentrated as to where they live in Cork, and maybe that's why the activity gets such a focus, you know.
And you've outlined the effects that you've warned students, and you've run this information campaign to warn students about the effects of getting arrested,
yes,
on their potential employment prospects in future, and also on travel prospects to places,
yes,
like the US, etc. On that basis, is it fair to call for students to be arrested if they are engaging in public order offences? Because, as you say, it could have really serious implications for their future.
Well, look, Sarah, that would be the exceptional case if people go. But, you know, the laws are there. There are laws of regarding public order offences. And whether it's you or I or anyone else contravenes the law, these are adults. They're young adults. They're educated young people. And, no, so you're only talking actually about a very, very tiny minority anyway who engage in this. I mean, we would put a lot of emphasis in CIT on sports facilities. We started work last week on a €25 million new indoor sports facility. We would have 500 or 600 members in our GA club, and similarly inside in UCC. It's again trying to develop positive activity for our students. We have a lot of students involved in helping the homeless people in Cork. We have a lot of people involved in musical societies and so on. So it's only a very, very small minority of students who would actually go overboard, and the laws, that's why the laws there, Sarah.
All right.
You know?
Next semester then, Barry, is obviously going to be a challenge for all third level institutions,
mm-hmm,
but I know that from the 1st of January 2021, CIT is going to merge with other ITs, and you'll have university designation becoming known as Munster Technological University.
That's correct.
What will that mean for CIT?
Well, what it means for the university at large is that we'll have over 18,000 students spread across Cork and Kerry, spread across 6 different campuses between Cork and Kerry. And it'll mean, first of all, a greater critical mass, greater autonomy in terms of the research and engagement we do with industry and the community. And it'll open up all sorts of avenues for our staff and our students in terms of going further ahead with studies and broadening out areas of interaction.
Okay.
Just last week, between the two institutions, we now call it the MTU, we won over €6 million in the recent HCI Springboard Skills, which are basically programs mainly at postgrad level, which will be skills conversion courses, which will, again, help reboot the economy and give people a chance to change the direction of work, you know.
All right, Dr. Barry O'Connor, President of Cork Institute of Technology, thank you very much for joining me this morning.